Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's an energy player who does have a high skill level. Played at Denver University. You know, really a smart player. Played World Junior for Team USA. He's a guy that's got, you know, a pretty good toolbox. He really does.
Thank you, Pierre. That, of course, Pierre McGuire from NBC. And with that, let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. Live and local from our Green Tree Studios, it is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you to about 5:40 before The Fan morning show pre-show. And it's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center 503 on this Tuesday morning. And Jim Rutherford seemingly got his guy that he's been chasing after for, who knows, at least a little over a year now. In a guy that he was looking to trade for in the Phil Kessel trade, didn't happen as Kessel kind of nixed things to Minnesota. And finally, Jason Zucker comes to Pittsburgh in exchange for struggling forward Alex Galchenyuk, defensive prospect Kalen Addison, and a conditional 2020 first-round pick. Conditional only in that if the Penguins miss the playoffs this year, the Pens can make that a 2021 first-round pick. So in my initial thought on this is that I like it, but I don't love it. And here's what I like about this trade. I like the fact that it makes the Penguins a better team right now. And maybe that's the most obvious point, but it's probably the most important point of this whole thing, is that Zucker is better to put on this roster as a legitimate top six guy over the struggling Alex Galchenyuk and a guy that could never quite figure it out here. I also like that Zucker is 28. And I like that he's under contract through the 2022-23 season at $5.5 million a year, which seems like reasonable value given what he has put up throughout his career. And what else has he put up throughout his career, you ask? So he's not a rental. This year, 14 goals, 15 assists, 29 points in 45 games. Not necessarily going to blow you away with those stats, but solid offensive contributor, and you figure if he gets around some better players, hopefully those numbers have an uptick. 64 points in 82 games, though, a couple years ago, and he has scored 30 goals once in his career and 20 goals three times throughout his NHL career, and he's in his ninth season. So he's been around for a while, yet he's still under the age of 30, not a rental, under contract through 22 in the 23 season. I like all of those things about this trade. I also like the fact that Zucker is known for his foot speed and for his intelligence. And I think that's kind of Mike Sullivan's identity, or at least what he wants his player's identity to be. Is it not? A guy who's going to skate, is going to keep up with the stars of this team, and also is intelligent enough to be in the right place at the right time. And doesn't that describe guys like Jake Guentzel, guys like Brian Rust, what you want from your wingers on this team? He seems to fit the bill in that description. And I also like the timing of this trade, because it's a little over 10 days to look at the team and to decide if more is needed before the deadline hits on the 24th, the NHL trade deadline. So Jim Rutherford is known for kind of making an early move here, and this is part of the reason why, and he's done it again. So he has that time to kind of evaluate, to see how Zucker fits into things, and to see if he needs to make more moves before that deadline hits on the 24th. Those are all things that I really like about this trade as I kind of react to it here hours after it has been made for the Penguins. What I don't love is how much was given up in return. I think the price, now I don't know what exactly Kalen Addison is going to do with the rest of his career. I don't know what the Minnesota Wild are going to pick with their first round pick. And Alex Galchenyuk, kind of a throwaway at this point. But I think the price is a little steep. I don't have a problem, obviously, with moving Galchenyuk. You end that experiment. Jim Rutherford always does well to realize when things, they're just not going to happen with a guy. He was brought in as part of the Kessel trade. He's got all that talent. He was, you know, a former top pick in the league. And you figured in his situation that he was going to get around some better talent and maybe figure some things out. But I think the last few games was evidence that with him getting like maybe 5 minutes of ice time, if he was lucky, that it was clear that things just weren't going to work here. Like, this guy just ain't cutting it. And it was clear that Mike Sullivan was done with him, and he just wasn't producing. God bless him, because he worked hard. You heard all of the, and you saw all the reports about how he would stay after practice and work on different parts of his game to try to get back. It's just going to be a mystery as to why he never worked and never figured it out with all the talent around him and all the talent that he has here. But it didn't. And you move on. Because you can't roll three lines into the playoffs like the Penguins had been doing over the past couple games and just kind of avoiding putting Galchenyuk out there on the ice. And history has shown you that you need something from, you see, need something more from that fourth line than 5 minutes. And so that was a major problem. And so I would like to think that Jim Rutherford saw that as a major problem, and that's why he was extra motivated to make this deal. I also don't love giving up Kalen Addison, a second-round pick in 2018, for just a little background on him. 43 points in 39 games in the Western Hockey League this year. An offensive-minded defenseman, was also part of the World Junior team in Canada that won a gold medal, and he did really well there. And he's only 19. So the general feeling on Addison is that his ceiling is a high-end offensive defenseman in the league for a long time. Maybe his ceiling is your next Chris Letang. So that he's drawn comparisons to him. So that hurts a little. It does, because the kid seems to have a bright future in the league. And I don't love that Jason Zucker is having a bit of a down year with 29 points in 45 games. Of course, the hope is that improves with a better roster. It's a lot riding on one guy, and why I don't love it, it's a lot riding on one guy to fit in immediately and to produce more than he has for up until this point this season. And it also shows Jim Rutherford's unwavering belief that any year can be their year, pretty much. As long as they have Malkin and they have Crosby, and this year they've got Murray and Jari playing at the levels that they are, that it can be their year. It makes me nervous, though, because oftentimes the biggest splashes never seem to quite work out. Like, every time a team wins a deadline or wins an offseason, that's kind of a red flag that, oh, hey, there might be something here where it doesn't quite work out. And I know that it was a previous regime, but you think Penguins-wise, you think of Jerome Iginla, certainly not saying that Jason Zucker is Jerome Iginla or on that level, but the splashier trade, the trading the first round pick and the top prospect for a guy at the deadline makes me a little nervous that it's going to work out. And we saw that with Derek Brassard with this regime as well. But if you trust any executive almost blindly at this point, it's Jim Rutherford, isn't it? It's yet another make the team better now, worry about the rest later type of deal. And that normally makes you raise your eyebrows, but with Rutherford, he's managed to supplement and take care of the later part pretty well. And especially in getting rid of organizational talent, young organizational talent, or opportunities to add young organizational talent with draft picks, and supplement that, especially with defensemen. You think of guys like Justin Schultz, with John Marino, with Marcus Pettersson, all these guys coming from outside the organization and being brought in and making a huge impact for this team. So Zucker seems like he has the game to play with Sid. I would think they would start him there. And with flexibility to play with Geno as well. Rutherford clearly thinks that he's a top six guy, and I don't see anything that would make me think that he's not. And he's long identified him as a guy who could fit, going back to, as I said, before the Kessel deal, and has paid a pretty big price to bring him in here, showing his confidence that he can fit. So I like it. I just don't necessarily love it. And I still see this team as being Eastern Conference Finals bound, capable of that, and maybe even more this season. And this trade, I think, in that it makes it better for the right now in exchanging Zucker for Galchenyuk only strengthens that for me. All right, coming up next, a couple of different things in the sports world from last night that you may have missed, as well as Major League Baseball. Continuing to try to, I don't know, catch some headlines here in the offseason. That's not all about just the cheating scandal with the Astros and the Red Sox. And I'll get into that more later on here on the Early Morning Show. That's all coming up. It's next. It's the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. If you're up this early, you may have missed some things that happened later on last night and yesterday in general. Let's go over some things here.
Was sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Late on the draw, it's all good. All right, a couple of baseball angles and a couple of XFL angles, and then one big NFL story that's continuing to develop throughout the offseason. So first we'll start, where do we want to start here? Let's start with baseball. So this was kind of the next step here in this whole Houston Astros cheating scandal, is that now players are going to start, the more and more time passes, the more players are going to speak out about it that weren't necessarily involved with it, but were impacted by it. And now you see a couple of different players kind of voicing their concerns. The first is Masahiro Tanaka from the Yankees, who through a translator says the Astros cheated the Yankees out of a pennant, and he's mad about it, and said that he does feel it as he is reporting to Yankees spring training, pitchers and catchers. Of course, that's happening throughout the league, but was very blunt about his comments that he feels that they definitely cheated them out of a pennant. And it's difficult to say, he says, because you never know what would have happened. And now, okay, so a guy says that. He says it publicly, which is a step. But also, here's this. Mike Bolsinger says that the cheating at Houston Astros changed the course of his career. And now he's looking for some payback. He's looking for some money. And so Bolsinger filed a civil lawsuit in Los Angeles Superior Court yesterday, accusing the Astros of unfair business practices, negligence, and intentional interference with contractual and economic relations. So Bolsinger is seeking unspecified damages, but they're not all for himself. He wants the Astros to forfeit the roughly $31 million in bonuses for their ill-gotten World Series title, and for the money to go to charities in Los Angeles focused on bettering kids' lives, as well as to create a fund for retired baseball players who need financial assistance. So he's going after the money, Mike Bolsinger is, who played for the Toronto Blue Jays, pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays. That seems a little too far here. I don't think that's ever going to come to fruition. But this is kind of the collateral damage when you've got a scandal that hits to this level, that guys aren't just going to sit back, sit on their hands, and keep their mouth shut about it, especially if they had to face the Astros multiple times throughout their cheating and ended up being on the wrong side of things because of the cheating. And so now you're starting to see that portion of this whole thing go down with Bolsinger in the lawsuit. I don't think much will happen from there. Probably an attempt to get himself into the headlines, but just more of the fallout from this whole thing. The XFL. One of the characters, or one of the players that many thought should be in the XFL to kind of ramp up the interest, along with Antonio Brown, was one Colin Kaepernick, to bring more eyes to the TV sets in the XFL. Well, the commissioner, Oliver Luck, was asked about this and gave his comments to NPR, saying, quote, "We gave it some thought. We have some pretty significant salary restrictions. We're a startup league, so we want to make sure that we can be fiscally responsible and fiscally prudent. And, you know, salary requirements that some folks, you know, shared with us were, in our case, exorbitant. So we, you know, couldn't go down that path." AKA Colin Kaepernick, like he did with the AAF, whenever he was considering that, and maybe they came calling to him when he was seeking, what, $20 million to go play in the AAF. He just wants too much money. And especially for an expansion league or a league that's in its very first year. And so that's why it doesn't make sense to bring in Colin Kaepernick, which also reiterates the fact that, I don't know, in my mind, if Colin Kaepernick is all about wanting to play football again. As you see, makes these high demands for his salary, that it's not always all about getting back into the NFL for Colin Kaepernick, because you would think that he would see something like the XFL or like the AAF before it as an opportunity for him to show off his skills and to eventually get teams to sign him back into the NFL. But he makes his high demands and keeps himself out of these leagues, and he does it once again with the XFL. And also with the XFL, the LA Wildcats fired their defensive coordinator after just one game, after giving up 37 points. Bang, see you later, you're out of the league. And finally, the Patriots and Tom Brady. It's going to be a story for months. We'll get used to it, and we should, because it won't go away until Tom Brady signs with either New England or another team. Robert Kraft addresses Tom Brady's impending free agency with just five words. Quote, "You know what I want." I think Robert Kraft is going to throw as much money as possible at Tom Brady. I think that relationship, that connection is very strong. I don't think they want to end it. At least Bob Kraft doesn't want to end it. $30 million, $35 million, whatever it takes to get Tom Brady in and back in New England, which, as the more and more this thing goes on, the more and more I think he's going to end up there. And I think he's going to make some demands, though. He's got clearly a stronghold over Kraft and over the organization right now. And I think he has the negotiating power to say, okay, you want me back? The next step here is the money. The first step's the money. Okay, if you're giving me $30 to $35 million, I'll come back. The next step here is give me some weapons. Give me some guys to throw the ball to. And that'll be next for New England. And I'm fully assured that he'll end up being a Patriot, and they'll load up for yet another Super Bowl title with him. All right, coming up next, Major League Baseball trying to get past the cheating headlines and is proposing something pretty crazy to the playoffs. Do we like it? What does it mean? And I'll go over all of that next. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. Wrapping things up here on the early morning show. If you're just waking up and you missed some news from last night, the Penguins acquired Jason Zucker from the Minnesota Wild in an exchange for Alex Galchenyuk, defensive prospect Kalen Addison, and a conditional 2020 first round pick. Went through that in the first segment of the show today. I really like it. I like a lot of aspects to this trade. The fact that Rutherford kind of sought out Zucker from a while ago as being a great fit for this team. He makes the Penguins better for this season. A lot to like about this trade. Don't necessarily love everything that he gave up, but we'll see what happens and how Zucker fits into the Penguins here for the rest of the regular season. 8 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, Ray Fittipaldo joining the show as the Steelers had a wide receivers coach, we thought, and then they really don't now, I guess. And now Jericho Cotchery is in the mix. What the heck's going on there? Ray will join the show at 8 o'clock to talk about that. And then Sarah McClellan from the Star Tribune in Minnesota covers the Wild out there. She'll join the show at 9 o'clock to talk about that Zucker trade coming to Pittsburgh. But for right now, Major League Baseball has a pretty interesting proposal for the playoffs. And so they're mulling over these significant changes to the postseason, including increasing the number of teams from 10 to 14. So increasing per league, I would assume, from 5 playoff teams to 7. And also adding a reality TV type format to determine which teams play each other in an expanded wild card round. So what the heck does that mean? Well, each league would have 3 division winners and 4 wild card teams making the postseason. And that's starting in 2022. So only a couple years away. The best team in the league would receive a bye into the division series. So think NFL here with a bye. You skip the wild card round, you go right to the divisional series. Very similar. The 2 remaining division winners and the wild card team with the best record of the 4 would each host games of a best of 3 series in the opening round. So doing away with the 1 game wild card, that's no longer a thing. We're going to start with a best of 3 series in that opening round. I like that. Then it gets into some craziness. And try to follow me here with this. So the division winner with the 2nd best record would select its wild card opponent from the 3 wild card winners not hosting a series. The division winner with the worst record would then choose its opponent from the remaining 2 wild card teams. And then the final matchup would pit the wild card winner with the best record against the wild card team not yet chosen. So enough to kind of make your head spin, just putting it into words and not seeing it in a bracket or a format. But overall here, I think I like this proposal. And here's why. This should coincide with baseball expanding to 32 teams. That's coming down the pike. It's only a matter of time before baseball expands. It wants to get into more markets. Other leagues have 32 teams. I think it's going to happen. So if that happens, that's another team added to each league if they keep the American in the National League as it is right now. And I think you would have room to expand the playoffs to more than just 5 teams per each league. I think there's room there to expand the playoffs, especially if you're adding 2 more teams into Major League Baseball. And also with the major discrepancy in spending right now, the 5 teams, you're really whittling it down to the haves in baseball. You talk about the haves and the have-nots. The haves, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the big spenders in baseball, the teams that are always there. And then the have-nots, you know who they are, including the Pittsburgh Pirates, the little spenders. They end up in the wild card game where they likely don't have that ace to match up with the other team there. And then their season ends pretty quickly. And I think of the A's and the Rays of the past. Expanded playoffs allows for more opportunities there. And also getting rid of that one game wild card is a good idea, in my opinion, as well. The choosing the opponent thing, I mean, I don't know. I don't love it because I think it gives a little extra motivation to that team that was picked to play. A little extra chip on their shoulder as they go into that series. Like, oh, these dudes wanted us? All right, here you go. But it's a nice idea. I don't even think that it's all that serious, to be honest with you. I think a lot of this is Rob Manfred and whoever in Major League Baseball kind of leaking it out there and throwing it at the wall to see if it sticks, to see what the reaction's going to be from fans, from players, from people around the game. And I'll give Rob Manfred great credit for this. The guy is trying to innovate the oldest, most traditional, oftentimes crustiest league in sports and has the guts to do it. And players are already protesting. You can always rely on Trevor Bauer to be the slightly irrational, highly dramatic voice tweeting yesterday in response to all this. No idea who made this new playoff format proposal, but Rob is responsible for releasing it, so I'll direct this to you, Rob Manfred. Your proposal is absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter and proves you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You're a joke. I think he's entirely too strong, as with most things that he does. But changes are coming to baseball. And I think that is my main takeaway here, is that the game is slower. Its style of play isn't great with all the strikeouts and just the home runs, the style that they're playing right now. And Manfred isn't going to sit on his hands here and let the game just continue to kind of almost devolve and to continue to pull away from maybe the younger crowd not being involved and not being interested in baseball. The DH is coming to both leagues. I believe that. More teams are coming into Major League Baseball. I believe that's going to happen. And now the playoffs might change. Again, I don't like the whole choosing the opponent thing. I think that you could probably do away with that, although it does create a spectacle in the offseason. And Major League Baseball is hurting for a spectacle to kind of keep it relevant beyond just games. But now the playoffs might change, and I think over the next couple years, the traditionalists in baseball are really going to have a rough time with what's going to happen in the MLB, and Rob Manfred is the face of it, and he doesn't care. He is the guy who's leading the way and doing it kind of fearlessly, really, and I give him credit for at least doing that. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. Does the Jason Zucker trade make the Penguins the Eastern Conference favorites right now? Do you think they're the best team in the Eastern Conference after swapping out essentially Zucker or Galchenyuk for Zucker for the rest of the year? And who knows, Jim Rutherford might make yet another trade before the trade deadline on the 24th. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal with auto show savings in February today. Variable cloudiness and a high of 42. And tonight, clouds breaking and a low of 27. No rain, at least. Pre-show, next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.